Well, we continue thinking about this Advent preparation in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes religions can get kind of otherworldly. They can be focused on what they believe to happen out beyond our planet somewhere, or maybe in terms of heaven and hell, and just think about the next life, but not think about this life. Or they can be very cosmic and focus on thoughts about the God of the cosmos. Or they can be thoughts that center in very much in our own minds and say, well, in the interior of my mind is where I get to know God. But Luke reminds us that there's yet another way for the Christian. It's a way very grounded in this real world. He says, in the time of the Emperor Tiberius, Governor Pilate, time of the regional heads of Herod, Philip, and Lysanias, and when the seat of the formal church was under the leadership of Caiaphas, this was a time when John was out by a certain place, the Jordan River, baptizing people and announcing a new coming which requires baptism and repentance. These are all very specific things in the world, yet they are about something greater than the times and the places they represent. The power for change will come from beyond these specific places, but it's about change in the real world where people live and live by the rules and pay the taxes and sometimes go to war. This is where these things happen, but the power to change comes from outside of them. When Luke lists the people in charge to give a place to the ministry of John the Baptist, it's not just a neutral list. It's not just that this is a list of rulers. These were all people, including the priests, who were wielded power in strong numbers and ways, and who often were corrupt as they did this. It had gotten so bad that many of the people had moved out of Jerusalem and the populous areas out into the wilderness, where John the Baptist was, to be independent of the corrupt government and the corrupt church. They sought purity in the wilderness and engaged in regular washings of baptisms for spiritual cleansing and renewal of faith. There was yet another meaning of John being in the wilderness near the Jordan River. The children of Israel had returned from Egypt many years before, after wandering in the desert for 40 years, after they had been slaves in Egypt. And when they came back home, after being released from slavery or running from slavery, they came across the Jordan River under the leadership of Joshua. And that's where the Israel before had been, and they wanted to restart it, and they did in times. And so for John the Baptist to have his ministry in this area and for Jesus to be here also was a sign that a whole new kingdom was starting. This was to be a great beginning. And when Isaiah had written the words of our first lesson today, written, he said, to prepare the way of the Lord, it was also about this place in the wilderness. At the time the children of Israel had been in captivity yet another time in Babylon, Isaiah had called them and written to them and said, prepare because you're going to go back. One day we'll go back. Well, it happened, and they did come back. And as they come back, they cross this Jordan River again to set up a government once again in Jerusalem. The territory, then, therefore, where John does his ministry in the wilderness is symbolically rich with meaning that something new, something big is starting that means new life for Israel and for all the people. It will be a huge new beginning. They've come out to see John the Baptist in droves. The priests have come out to hear what's going on and find out what all the fuss is about. John's ministry is out there. It's big. And the new beginnings are happening. He has their attention. He can use this moment to get a good response. So using these words of Isaiah, John calls for the people to repent and to be baptized, and to be washed, to prepare for the coming of this new kingdom. That's what they were there to do. They were to prepare the way for the coming of the new kingdom, to be led by the new one on the scene, Jesus, who would usher in the new kingdom. This word repent from the Greek means to have a change of mind. This isn't a quick change of mind, like saying, well, I was going to go here and then I decided to go there, and just like a small thing. It's a change of a mind of one's thinking process. It's a way of changing one's way of thinking about the world around them. It's not just a surface thing, but a change of thinking that leads to a different kind of living, That's what repentance is about. That kind of change of mind, from going this direction to changing a whole other direction to going this way. And so as we're called to repentance, and the season of Advent, it's a time for us to be about this kind of change of mind. Our repentance is carefully looking at ourselves, our attitudes, our actions, our treatment of other people, our values, and how they influence what we do in our lives each day, to really think about those things and think about our hearts. John said the people then should get ready for a new kingdom with its leader to come, which would be Jesus. And so we prepare ourselves to receive the new king who is to come, which we celebrate on Christmas. We want to give ourselves now time to think about what his coming means for us. How will his values rule our lives? How will our minds change as we renew our faith and think it through? What will we let go of because we realize it maybe really isn't important, or maybe it's even detrimental to our receiving Jesus as the ruler of our lives? Washing played a big part of this repentance that John was talking about. Some places of Qumran were communities out in the desert, had big pools for adults would come down into and get washed thoroughly. They would dip in these pools for a washing and a washing away of their sins. John himself used the whole Jordan River for washing people who came in repentance. It was a time to think and repent and then to be washed and say, I'm cleansed of these things. This time of preparation, this time of renewal, is a time to let go of those things that inhibit our relationship with Jesus. Let them all be washed away. John also brought a strong word of forgiveness. The word he preached was quoted from Isaiah, which we heard. This forgiveness will be all through the land. Isaiah's people had fallen away from God, and they deserved punishment. They got the punishment. God forgave them, and they were able to come back from Babylon. Many of the people of John the Baptist, they realized that they had been co-opted by the governmental and religious leaders and they needed cleansing. They were going a wrong direction, the way to follow the ways in Jerusalem. They needed a new start. So they come to the wilderness and have a start with a new kingdom as they come into the wilderness, first by John, then by Jesus. We find ourselves now in a time less than 3 weeks away from Christmas when we want to be cleansed. We want to be ready to receive the new one God is sending. He's come to verify God's plan, but he continues to come in ways to meet the conditions of the world as they reflect the ages-old things such as corruption and racism and abuse of power. So we want to be in reflection. We want to be in devotion. We want to be in positions to receive the forgiveness of sins ourselves and be cleansed so God can work through us to bring the new age to our time, so abuse and poor treatment and violence and crimes against one another can go away. God wants to use us to effect that change. The new kingdom can come now. And so we have a couple weeks now as we can ponder these things and think and pray how we might make a difference to work towards a new way. We have time to repent of what we have done and what we have not done that we should have done, and to resolve now to live into the future in a new way. John says that the rough places will be made smooth, and the salvation of God will come to all flesh. There will be a more level playing field. The going will be easier. All creation will come together. God won't come just to a certain group. God will come to all, no matter what race or what kind of person. This is the kind of thing we want to do as we come out of a time of repentance and are ready to celebrate the coming of the new king who will lead perfectly with kindness and forgiveness and expect us to be about the coming of his kingdom where we are. A hopeful thing happened this last week that we were a part of, as about 25 of us Lutheran and Roman Catholic church leaders gathered at the Archdiocese office to discuss a way of starting renewal conversations between our churches. As we gather together, there will be some 12 dialogues between these churches, and we'll be involved in this next year as parishioners from both faith groups represent their home churches and get together and begin to talk about differences and about similarities. We hope that as Christians working in a united way, we can present a stronger picture of God's people together in the world and a sign of God's kingdom in the earth. We hope it can be said one day that when Obama was president and Nixon was governor and Stenger and Slay were local chief executives and Francis was pope and Eaton was presiding bishop and Gustafson was synod bishop, that the word of the Lord came and that God's people responded. They came to a time of repentance. They received forgiveness and they forgave others as they had been forgiven. They embraced the good news of God in Jesus Christ, and they set out about proclaiming God's word of forgiveness. They called it for the world to change its mind about many things so that all flesh, all people, might know the love of God. So let us be about repentance and forgiveness so that the plan of God may unfold. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.